This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. January 16th through the 19th is the San Antonio Cocktail Conference, a gathering of some of the nation's greatest bartenders and mixologists with locals who like to drink. The conference proceeds benefit Heart Gift San Antonio and Child Safe. Cocktail drinking has changed a lot since the disco days of doing a hustle at Burgundy Woods and Hallelujah Hollywood. It's gotten a lot more fancy. How did this happen? And if this trend's passed you by, here's a chance for you to catch up and ask those questions about these fancy cocktails and how they got to be this way. Because now San Antonio has some of the top shelf drinking establishments available, the Esquire Bar, the Brooklynite. And so we're talking about fancy cocktails this half hour. We've got Jason Cosmos here. He's helped pioneer the classic cocktail movement in New York City with the opening of Employees Only and the Macau Trading Company. And also Kathy Siegel. She's the Director of Development for Child Safe, which is an organization that is benefiting from the cocktail conference and one of the organizers. Welcome to The Source, both y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Jason, it is kind of gotten kind of intimidating now with all these fancy drinks that you go to the bar and you want to have something good, but you don't want to get something way out there. What is the safest drink I can order when I go to one of the cocktail conference or one of these fancy bars?
I mean, there's probably two that I would recommend. One is the old fashioned, which is one of the first cocktails out there. All it is you're taking a whiskey, let's say. You're taking your base spirit. You're putting a little bit of sugar, a little bit of bitters. You're blending it with some water by melting some ice, and then you garnish it with a twist. It couldn't be any simpler than that. The other favorite would be a Tom Collins. It's one of those forgotten drinks in a sense that something so simple can be so delicious. Just gin, lemon juice, a little bit of simple syrup, club soda. It's unbelievable.
Okay, our phone lines are open. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. Got a question, a comment about cocktailing these days and the cocktail conference. We'd love to hear from you. You could also email your questions and comments to the source at tpr.org. Kathy Siegel, tell me about Child Safe and how do y'all benefit from the cocktail conference?
Yeah, so Child Safe is Bexar County's Children's Advocacy Center. We are charged with providing counseling and coordination of care to children who are victims of abuse and neglect. And it's an important job in this community because, unfortunately, Bexar County leads the state in confirmed cases of child abuse. And we're going to do what we can to stop that. Fortunately, we are one of two beneficiary agencies of the Cocktail Conference. The Cocktail Conference in San Antonio is different than other ones like it because they're giving it all back. And they are committed to making a difference for children here. So lucky for us and lucky for the children of San Antonio.
Right. So the proceeds going to y'all help support you, go directly to your operation. So we know that it's a good cause. And also, I know that Heart Gift has been providing like heart transplants or procedures.
This is the third year that Heart Gift San Antonio will benefit from the conference. And they bring children to San Antonio for life-saving heart surgery from places where care like that isn't available. So saving lives by pouring cocktails.
That's a pretty good combination. All right, so Jason, let me ask you, though, about as I was doing research, I came across a lot of these new terms and techniques and stuff. I really want to try and figure out, decode cocktailing these days. So first of all, do they really make drinks from gunpowder these days?
That's one that I haven't seen, but if it's going to happen anywhere, it's going to happen in Texas.
Right. Okay. So fat washing. Really, do you want fat, bacon, or duck fat in your drinks?
The fat washing is a technique that people have really gotten into. Not that I think it's a gimmick. I wouldn't say that. It's definitely something that I know someone did about, 7, 8, 9 years ago. And it's kind of cool to see have it been done. But being done everywhere is, I think, a little too much.
Well, what is it? What is it?
What you would do is you would – let's say you wanted to do a bacon-infused bourbon. You would take the fat and the bacon, if you wanted to, of the bourbon of the bacon, and you would pour it into your bourbon while it's hot. You let it kind of cool, and then you'd put it in the refrigerator, freeze it, where the fat would become solid on top, and then you can scoop the fat right off and strain the rest out.
So there's a liquid, there's a bourbon liquid, but now that – and you get rid of the coagulated fat and you can get rid of that part and just keep the bourbon, but now it's going to taste bacony.
It is. It's going to pick up some of the smoke and some of the flavor from the bacon.
That's another thing, smoke. You see now that smoke machines are a part of the modern mixology. How does that work?
Well, there's a few different ways to do it. You can smoke the ingredients before you, like you could smoke a lemon and squeeze it if you wanted to. You could smoke, let's say, chilies just like you would normally do it and puree it or infuse that even. Some other ways are to, I had a buddy back in the day who literally took Coca-Cola syrup, put it into a smoker and smoked Coca-Cola syrup and then put it back into the, you know, into the bag to use out of the gun.
So they put, and I've seen like they have a big bottle and they will pour the smoke into the bottle, cork the bottle, then they'll pour the drink into the bottle with the smoke, you know, but it seems like smoke is such a delicate thing. It's easy to overpower with it.
It is. It is. And in fact, you know, it's not something that I love to do. You can get smoke out of other things, too. Not say naturally. But, you know, for example, single malt whiskeys have smoke to them, as do mezcals, which are actually a really growing category of spirits right now. Lots of smoke in that.
Okay. And so the thing that I wonder about most is the ice. I've been a bartender. I told you before. I've seen ice machines. So you take like a 500 bottle, you know, dollar bottle of something or other, and you put it in the most wretched ice in the world. How much?
The ice chips, right?
Yeah. Care is given to the actual ice in these cocktails?
Well, you know, that's one thing. Ice is really a tool. And that's what most people don't realize. Ice does two things. First of all, it chills the drink, and it also dilutes water into it.
If the ice is nasty, and ice machines can get nasty pretty quick.
Well, the machines themselves can get nasty, but there's even beyond that, it's even the size of the ice has become really the issue. Forget about whether or not the ice machine is clean. You assume that the ice machine is clean. But even now the big debate is the size of your ice and whether it's chilled to a proper temperature. It gets really, really in-depth. Ultimately, if you can get like about a 2-inch cube, you know, anywhere between a 1.5 and 2-inch cube to make drinks, that's ideal. Bigger than that, you'll see guys carving spheres and all this other crazy stuff.
So why is that ideal? I mean, because what does it do that makes it ideal?
Okay, well, it's about surface area. There's less surface area, so there's less meltage. So what's going to happen is you're going to chill the drink to the same temperature or to a colder temperature, actually, without putting as much water in. Okay? So like one big chunk of ice as compared to those little chips, all those little chips will melt before it gets as cold as you want it.
And it'll dilute the
it'll
drink.
It'll dilute the drink,
without
yeah.
chilling it.
It's like when you used to go to like an Irish pub and you'd order a Jameson on the rocks. They'd give you that small glass. It seems like it was about 3 ounces. It'd be filled with that chipped ice. And before you even finished drinking it, you'd have nothing left. Nowadays, what we're doing is we're either – we have about – a lot of people are using 2-inch cubes sometimes.
And now they actually use rocks, chilled rocks.
Yeah, I've seen that too.
So that's – I wonder if they have flavored rocks. If they – hey, I don't want Flint. I want, Maglemite or something else. All right. We're going to continue the conversation about the modern trends in cocktails. They got the cocktail conference coming up here in San Antonio, January 16th and 19th through the 19th. It's fascinating, all the drinking trends and the combinations of ingredients. If you got a question, we want to hear from you. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. You can also email your comments to thesource@tpr.org. And this is The Source on KSTX 89.1 FM. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. January 16th through the 19th is the San Antonio Cocktail Conference. It's an event that's bringing some of the greatest bartenders from around the country here to San Antonio. The proceeds benefit Heart Gift San Antonio and Child Safe. With me in the studio to talk about the event is Jason Cosmas. He is one of the leading classic bartenders in the nation. He's opened up some of the great bars in New York, also operates out of Dallas. And Kathy Siegel, she's the Director of Development for Child Safe. So Kathy, tell me about some of these events. How do you go to the cocktail conference?
It's so easy to go to the conference. You go to our website and buy tickets. But let me tell you, this is about giving back, and it's about the crafted cocktail. But more than anything, it's about having a really good time.
How does that work? Buy one ticket per event?
You can do it all different, a lot of different ways. So
okay,
there's
what
an
are the
opening
events?
Opening night at the Majestic is Thursday night. That's our big splash. And
what is that? What do you do? Do you stand around and drink?
Well, yeah, but okay. You also stand around and have a really good time, and there's food on every level of the Majestic from some of the greatest chefs in San Antonio, and there are drinks on every level from wonderful spirit vendors and terrific bartenders who are here to make it happen, and we've got live music. We're covering the seats of the Majestic and pointing the music towards the lobby, and we're going to have a great time.
And so what are some of the other events?
That's our kickoff. Then on Friday night, we're doing Texas Spirits Night at the Pearl, and it's all about Texas spirits and restaurants from the Pearl.
So these are like, you know, booze that's made and distilled in Texas.
Absolutely, all of them.
That's a huge new thing.
Yeah, and people are going to come to the Weston Center downtown and have a cocktail and then board a river barge and take a ride down to the Pearl where they'll enjoy Texas Spirits and Rick Cavender Band and then take a double-decker bus back to their car at the end of a really good time. And then Saturday night, we're calling Stroll on Houston Street. So that's a party at Bohannon's Restaurant and Bar and Luke's San Antonio, and we're closing the sidewalk in between with a 16-piece orchestra and a beer break in between. And it's all about a good time. And then Sunday's one event after another. We've got a screening of the movie Hey Bartender. We have the original cocktail competition. We start in the morning with brunch hosted by Deep Eddie. And in the afternoon, or in the late afternoon, early evening, we have Tribute to Tequila down at La Margarita. And we close the evening out at the Brooklynite.
Wow, that's a lot of drinking.
Oh, yeah. And better than all individual tickets, you can buy an all-access pass and go to a whole lot of them.
Fantastic. Our phone lines are open. The number is 614-8980. Let's go to the calls, and Shamir has called in. Shamir, thanks for calling in. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I have a question for the mixologist that's on the panel.
Sure. And that would be Jason Cosmos.
Jason, yes. I've been drinking craft cocktails here for a few years now in San Antonio, and a lot of the bars here, and I'm trying to get a perspective of the rest of the country since you're from New York City, they're prohibition-style bars, so they kind of concentrate on gin-based drinks. And in my opinion, they have kind of a snobby attitude if you're trying to order a vodka drink. To me, if you're mixing it all together, what's the difference? But, I mean, do you kind of know what I'm speaking of, where it's kind of...
Yeah, you know...
bars, and it's like, well, you're not drinking gin, you're not as cool as us.
You know, and I've seen that. I know exactly what you're talking about. It's the gin's just flavored vodka, right? And... you know what it is? It comes out of two things. I think one, there's an idea behind it that, vodka really didn't exist till the 1950s. So it didn't exist when all these classic cocktails were being created. So I find that a lot of the younger guys grasp onto this thing of like, you know, let's not pour vodka. Some of the older guys, though, you know, we came out of that martini craze. We saw, you know, everything, you know, under the sun being mixed with anything else. So long as it was in a V-shaped glass and it had vodka, you could call it a martini. And, there was kind of a backlash against that as well. But I mean, ultimately for me, you know, a bartender should be able to, to read and understand their guests. They should, first of all, be accommodating. So, I've always said this too, you know, if cocktails get too snobby, people are going to go back to drinking beer. And the only thing that saves us from that is that beer's gotten way too snobby too.
But he's talking about how the bartender kind of is copping an attitude. And so what do you tell your bartenders to make them feel like a guy? If a guy wants like the best cognac in the world mixed with Coca-Cola, you know, I mean, are you going to like roll your eyes and say, well, it's your money, bub? Or are you going to say, well, sir, that's an excellent choice. What do you do?
Okay, so the way that I train my staff is always to provide an experience. And what you want to do is you want to make sure that person gets what they're asking for in at some level. Sometimes people ask you for things in a weird way. They tell you what they don't like. As far as the cognac question, if somebody asks for it and they obviously know what they want, on the back end, talking about the gin question, you know, I always let my staff make a drink for someone, and if they don't like it, we'll make them something else. But it's a hospitality business. You know, let's be honest about that. Nobody should be snobby about this. Nobody should really be telling the guests what to do. I mean, we're there to serve the guests. Let's not be foolish about this.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Zane has called in. Zane, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Josh, I have a question, as a matter of fact, concerning cognac. I recently discovered my son using some of my very good vintage cognac to make sidecars with, and I took him to task for it and said, you know, use Christian's Brothers brandy, you're going to get the same effect. Was I wrong or right?
Well, you're not completely wrong. No, I mean, you're pretty much right on the bat. If you have a really nice cognac, it doesn't need to be mixed in that way. You know, the idea behind a drink should always be to honor the ingredient. So if you have a really high quality spirit, you don't want to do too much to it if you're going to do anything at all. I mean, serve it neat, you know, up in a snifter, obviously, is the way that we all want to go with it. You know, the Christian Brothers, you know, there are some other brandies. There are actually some very well-made, inexpensive cognacs as well. Like Pierre Ferrand makes one that is specifically for mixing in cocktails and to create a lot of those classics like the sidecar.
Okay, and another caller has wants to join the conversation. Terry. Terry, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, I was wondering if you could recommend a non-alcoholic drink. I have a condition where I can't tolerate alcohol, and I like to sit in, like go out with friends and family. You know, I don't want to just get a soda all the time. Any recommendations?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a couple of things that I recommend. You know, obviously things like tonic, something that's a little bit bitter will kind of slow you down a little bit too, which is, you know, my problem when I take off from drinking for a little while and then I have to go to cocktail bars, you know, it's hard because you kind of drink almost at the same pace and you start sucking down these sodas like crazy. Another really good ingredient or thing that you can get in most cocktail bars is ginger beer. It's really spicy, really, really peppery. You can do ginger beer, iced tea, and lemonade, or lemon juice, I should say, and it's absolutely delicious. I've drank that quite a few times.
Well, you know, one thing I like is bitters, and they have so much – the bitters, quality of bitters is so much better now than it used to be, and there are different types of bitters. And bitters and soda, I think, is just is fantastic.
It is. Well, the thing about bitters, though, it is it does have alcohol.
Yeah, it does. Don't they have some non-alcoholic, or they all have a little bit?
Pretty much most of them have alcohol in them.
Okay. All right. So thanks for catching me on that one. The number to call in if you've got a question about drinking, give us a call, 614-8980, 614-8980. Well, let's talk a little bit more about bitters, because
sure.
I saw they have like chocolate and mole bitters.
If you can imagine it, they have a bitters for it.
What's up with all that? What do you do with all those bitters?
Well, I mean, the idea behind bitters is to basically take a certain range of flavors and concentrate them. So you do that mostly by taking high-proof alcohol and infusing them to the point where that they're not really tangible. They're overpowering in on its own. But when you put a few drops into a spirit or into a cocktail itself, they'll kind of open up and you'll catch some of those nuances. They create a little bit of complexity in a drink. And sometimes, you know, with some of the bitters, I'll be honest. I mean, I think there's a little bit of gimmick to it. I think some are really well made, and I think that others are trying to capitalize on it.
It seems to be a big trend now. Bars are making their own bitters or specialty bitters.
Yeah, you know, and that's actually not a new thing. That was something that was, you know, even from the mid to late 1800s, people, a lot of places had their own proprietary bitters. It was almost like their house secret, how they made their drinks.
And so you're only using a few drops, so you're not really going to get drunk off of bitters, you know, bitters and soda. You have to drink a lot of it.
You would have to drink a lot of it. But if you are intolerant to alcohol, that might be the
yes,
issue.
Or you're trying to avoid alcohol entirely.
Yeah.
Okay, and so let's talk about how did we get here? Because when I was a bartender many, many years ago, St. Mary's Bar and Grill, just serving beer mainly in gin and tonics and things. It was crazy if someone had walked into there and asked for a sidecar or something like that. It would have been unheard of. How did we get here?
Well, I think, you know, I got a really great front row seat. I started bartending 20 years ago, and that's really when some of these seeds were planted. It really started with the idea of ultra-premium spirits where they started coming along. You started having single malt whiskeys were on the back bar all of a sudden, and then you had small batch and single barrel bourbons. Those were really new. And then it was vodka. The caller before talked about bartenders, you know, hating vodka and serving vodka. Most of them are too young to realize that vodka paved the way for their career choice. Vodka was the one that people understood, and it became like a safety net. Again, you could put anything into a glass so long as you called it a martini.
Let me get this caller on the air. David has called in. He's got a question about vodka. So,
sure.
David, go ahead. What's your question?
Yes, my question is about, actually it is about vodka. I've heard that you can run like low quality vodka through like a standard water filter, like a Brita, and it'll, you know, come out, take out a lot of the congeners in it. And I'm wondering if, you know, that's actually something that, if it actually works, or if that's just sort of a placebo effect, because I've tried it and it seems to have, you know, made an improvement in the smoothness of the vodka.
All right. Thanks for that question, David.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of a myth. Really, the whole issue with vodka, whether it's good or not, it's how it's distilled, and basically the cuts that the distiller is making. So it really happens on the distillation level, and then to when they're blending it with water afterwards, putting it through a coffee filter. Yeah, it'll get through. It'll cut out any junk that's in there. You know, but at the end of the day, it's really about the quality of the distillation. So putting it through a coffee filter, you know, might help for that. It might make that vodka better. But for example, actually, I produce a vodka called Aylesbury Duck, and we do no charcoal filtration because we work with whiskey distillers that are just incredible, make incredible cuts. So we've gone against the grain in a sense where we don't do any filtration because we want you to taste the original product and because it's so well made.
But David asked about the placebo effect, okay, and how big is the placebo effect in general for a lot of this, you know, hype and drinking?
Well, I mean, the placebo effect, drinking has its mythology, right? What is it? You know, gin makes you angry. Tequila makes you take your clothes off. What else do we have, right?
Scotch makes you, I don't know. Spend money.
Right.
All right. So it's just, I guess it's all power of suggestion and the power of good drinking and good times. Well, we've got good times coming up here with the Cocktail Conference, January 16th through the 19th. You can go where online to find out more?
Yeah, www.sacocktailconference.com.
It's going for a great cause. It's the Child Safe and also Heart Gift San Antonio. So this is for a great cause. And I want to thank Jason Cosmas for coming up here, one of the nation's great bartenders, Kathy Siegel, Development Director for Child Safe and an organizer for the Cocktail Conference.